So today we are in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. We finished up with 5:21 last week. 6:1, what shall we say then? Well, in light of everything we've just done, Romans chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, to actually get just a little bit of context, since J.C. O'Hare said anybody that is a new believer, recently saved, should read Romans 5, 1 to 11, 100 times. We still got almost two more years to hit 100 times in Romans 5, 1 to 11. So Romans 5, to get the what shall we say then in 6:1. Romans 5, 1, therefore, okay, so Romans 4, 25. Romans 4, 24. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, that being righteousness, righteousness shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I want to jump ahead to verse 19. So 5, 1 to 11 that we just read. Read 100 times. Verse 19, just start picking up the context for chapter 6. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Okay, we'll stop there. And we won't even get that far today in chapter 6. Okay? So 6:1, what shall we say then, in light of the first five chapters? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Grace believers are always accused, oh, you grace believers, you think you just have a license to sin. And let's just see what the passage has today, and really more so next week is really going to address that. Okay, and let's see what the scriptures say. But one general comment would be is you know, nobody condemns sin in this Bible more than Paul. Just like right here. what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Is that how we're supposed to show how we're saved by grace and works have no part of it? We should go around just show the world, man, sin, 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 right? Verse 2, God forbid. God forbid. Now, one thing in verse 1, he doesn't say, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? He says, shall we continue in sin? Should we be living in sin? And, you know, there's a difference there, okay? But should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Well, verses 3 and 4 have baptism in there quite a bit. And so it's kind of tough to go past this passage without really looking into baptism and what baptism does here. Let me pose one question up front, and I'm not going to answer it until the end of this study. Normally when we come here, we dress it up front. You as the, and you on the tape as the student, if you will, or the viewer of this lesson today, you're going to need to make a decision yourself. Okay? Obviously, put a marker in here. It's the text for today. But come back to Matthew chapter 3. So, baptism. Actually, on your way back there, stop at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, first of all. Acts chapter 17, and in verse 12 it says, therefore many of them believed. Okay, well, you need to be a believer, but you need to follow the example that these people gave us right here. Your Bible says, therefore, many of them believed. Well, what's the why, you know, why for? What was before this that made many of them believe? Well, it's verse 11. It says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that, and here's the therefore, the why for, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed. Okay, whatever you believe in the Bible, you need to know the scriptures. And just like these people right here that are called more noble, and it's the students, not the teachers, that are called more noble. Let's be clear on that. It's the Bible student here, the Bible person that's learning what's in the scriptures. They're the ones that are called more noble in that they received the word, as it says here, with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Search it out. Okay, you hear it taught. You hear it preached here. Go search it out. And once you see it in scripture, you've got it settled in your mind, then it's verse 12, therefore many of them believe. Okay, and I would challenge you today in this study, because it is a sensitive subject, okay? Study it out. Because you got to, it's between you and the Lord. Every subject's, you know, start with salvation. Either you're either saved or you're not, and that's between you and the Lord. Nobody else has any part in that. All right, now, Matthew chapter 3. Again, we're talking about baptism in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Come back to Matthew chapter 3. You'll see why I'm starting with this verse here. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Now this is John the Baptist talking. And of course, John the Baptist baptized a lot of people in water. So verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And watch this. He shall baptize you with water also. Not even what it said. It says, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Wow, we've got three baptisms right there in one verse. We've got baptism with water. We've got baptism with the Holy Ghost. We've got baptism with fire. There's three baptisms in one verse. While we're in Matthew, come to chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And look at verse 22. Matthew 20, 22. But Jesus answered and said, "Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They say unto him, "We are able." And he saith unto them, "Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand baptized with." Wasn't he already water baptized? Yeah, we're out here in Matthew 20. He got baptized back there in Matthew chapter 3. This is baptism unto death. This is a baptism of death. A fourth baptism in your Bible. I've heard some people preach there's between 10 and 13 different baptisms that you can find. There's four right there. And I'll just go ahead and say this one. You know, 1 Corinthians 12 is going to say, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized." So there's a fifth one. Baptized by the Spirit. So we have water baptism, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. We have baptism with the Holy Ghost. We have baptized with fire. We have now in Matthew 20, we have baptism of death. And in 1 Corinthians 12, we have baptized by the Spirit. There's five baptisms. And let's just say that's enough for today. Okay? So just think about this as we study Romans chapter 6, going back there right now. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Just think about, wow, I've always assumed it was this type of baptism. Let's let this study go. You know, what does this baptism do? And then, which baptism is it? Okay? So be thinking about that. Romans 6, verse 3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized..." Okay, were baptized. Who does Paul talk to in all of Paul's writings? And he wrote the book of Romans right here. So this is the book of Acts, right, in our timeline. He writes it right at the beginning of Acts chapter 20. Okay, so we're about 25 years after the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. About 25 years later is when he's writing this book. Okay, and he always writes to save people. Okay, Paul, in every one of the 13 books, almost half of the New Testament, he always is writing to save people. He's writing to save people to show them how to share scriptures with lost people so they can be saved. But he's not writing to lost people so they can read it to learn how to be saved. No, it's directions to you, to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, we're called to be ambassadors for Christ. Okay? That's our job. That's why he leaves us here after we're saved. That's why he doesn't take us right away. He leaves us here to do a job, and that job is to be an ambassador for Christ, to share the gospel of Christ with others so that they might be saved. That's our ambassadorship. That's the message we're to carry. And so, in verse 3 where he says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized..." So these people were already baptized, weren't they? Okay, it says, "You were baptized." So many of us as were baptized. So he includes himself in here. So him and these people at Rome to whom he's writing. Go back to Romans chapter 1. And in verse 7, he says who he's writing this book to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you in my prayers, and on he goes. Okay, so he's writing to save people. And we know from other scripture passages in here, it's Gentiles. Okay? So back to Romans 6, 3 and 4. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Well, whatever baptism this is that is in Romans chapter 6, baptizes us into his death. His death. When he hung on that cross, that's where his death is, right? When he hung on that cross, we know the gospel of Christ says that he died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, took those sins to hell. Okay, he shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sins, took those sins to hell and left them there. And on the third day, God the Father raised him for our justification, as we read in Romans 4:25, who was raised again for our justification, made us not guilty before God, paid the penalty we deserve. We have his atonement counted unto us. We have his righteousness accounted unto us. Okay? So the gospel of Christ, the gospel of our salvation today. And oh, by the way, Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, look at it, verses 6 through 9 or 10, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than the gospel of Christ, let him be accursed. And if you missed it there, the very next verse he says, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Whoa, pretty strong words. Pretty strong words. But as I know, I'm preaching to the choir half the time, but the more you teach people, the more you study with people, the more emphatic you get about that passage, and the more real that passage gets, because there's a lot of different gospels being preached today, unfortunately. And I'm not talking about ISIS and Iraq and Syria and wherever over there. I'm talking about here in this country. There are a lot of different gospels being preached. Some knowingly, some unknowingly. Okay, back to our study though. So, baptism, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. So, and we are baptized. And when we're baptized, like this in 3 and 4, we're baptized into his death. So far in this passage, and there's going to be more to this. So we're baptized into his death. By the way, baptism, a definition would be identification. We are identified with Christ. We're baptized into Christ. We're identified with Christ in his death. Okay? So know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. We're identified with his death. Therefore, because we're baptized into Christ and into his death, therefore, verse 4, we are buried with him. Okay, we're identified with his death. We're buried with him. And the next phrase, by baptism, verse 4 again. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Yeah. How can we be dead to sin? Because we're identified with Christ, his death. We're identified with Christ in his burial. And when they bury people, how much do they bury of them? All of them, right? They're all buried 6 feet under. Okay? Your total burial there. Verse 4 again. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. So it's the baptism that does it. That's what crucifies us with Christ. That's what baptizes us into his death. That's what buries us with him. Buries us with him. Okay? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted, past tense, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Shall, future tense, in the likeness of his resurrection, calling out of the body of Christ, the rapture of the church which is his body. Okay? Only true of this dispensation in which we live today, and there's no other parallel church going on right now. There's one church. It's called the church which is his body. Paul refers to it many times through scriptures. Each one of us is a member of that church, including anybody watching on the tape today. from the moment they got saved, that day that they got saved, became a member of the church which is his body. Okay, the church, and again, several times it's called that. So it's baptism that does all this now. In verses 3 and 4, we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death, we're baptized into his burial, and we're baptized into his resurrection. We're identified with each of those characteristics of Christ. Now again, I challenge you, I urge you to search this out and get it settled in your mind. Was that water baptism that did that? Was that baptism by fire? And I think we can probably rule that one out. Alright, was it baptism by death or baptism of death? And I think we can rule that one out too. We're all still physically here. Was it baptism with the Holy Ghost? Okay, there might be some. I don't know of anybody in this room, maybe somebody on the internet that still may have, you still may be thinking that one applies, baptism with the Holy Ghost, and that's where the gifts of the Holy Spirit would follow. When somebody was baptized with the Holy Ghost, as in Acts chapter 2, that's what's going on there. Okay, and these signs shall follow, and the miracles, and the speaking in tongues, and of course we have the nominations today that go with that. So again, search this out. Is it that baptism? Another one we talked about is being baptized by... Actually, we haven't read it yet, so let's look over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The fifth baptism that we talked about today is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, where the Bible says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Okay, so, and this is the baptism by the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. That fifth baptism. Maybe we should even make a... put them on the board here. So we have in Matthew chapter 3, we had baptism, we had water baptism, we had baptism with the Holy Ghost, and if you'll allow me to abbreviate, with the Holy Ghost, I'm going to emphasize that, and we have baptism by fire. All that was in one verse. We also had in chapter 20, verse 22, baptism of death. And over here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, we have baptism by, and if I can underline that, by the Spirit, capital S. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 baptisms. Okay, Romans 6, either it's all of these we need to have, or a combination of, or one of them. Well, again, you be the student. You get this settled in your mind, and we're not by any means done. I'm hoping that, I'm trusting in the fact that you will study this out, and by the end of this, it will be very clear which of these five baptisms it is, or a different baptism. If it is, again, some people, preachers, 10, or say they can show you 10, or even more baptisms in your Bible. Five's, I think, enough for today. Okay? So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, "For by one Spirit are," okay, not were, not will be, "for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles." By the way, 1 Corinthians was written within the year, probably just months prior to the book of Romans. In chapter 19 of Acts is where the book of 1 Corinthians, where we're reading now, is written. So he says this, and a couple months later he writes Romans, where we're studying today in Romans chapter 6, okay, about the baptism there. So just keep that in mind as well. Same time period. I mean same year. Okay, within the same 12 months. Verse 13 again, "For by one Spirit are," are, present tense, are we all baptized into one body of believers, one church, which is his body, into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. Capital S, that should be. Okay, one spirit. Let's just look at a couple other passages to go with this right here. How about Galatians chapter 3? Galatians would be the first book that Paul wrote. He would have written this back here in Acts chapter 16, but the first one that Paul wrote that became Scripture. Again, most of these are letters, either to churches or to individuals. Okay, the book of Galatians was written to the Galatian church. He had been there, Acts 14, he had been there, now he's writing back to them. And remember, the main issue back then was circumcision. Okay, we're dealing with baptism today, but circumcision, that was the big thing. And that's why Paul, that's why they wanted to stone him all the time. You know, what were they saying Paul was doing? Telling people that they don't have to follow the law of Moses anymore and that they don't have to be circumcised. Whoa, that was blasphemy. Even the 12 were still teaching people those. They still had, you know, after the ascension of Christ into heaven, when the 12 take over, start building the kingdom church in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, for that year after the cross, the 12 are building the kingdom church. And the law is still part of the program. Circumcision is still part of the program. Even out in Acts 20, you see circumcision being talked about by the Jews. So that's 25 years after the cross. They're still putting people under circumcision. That's why Paul has to write the book of Galatians. Watch what he says here in chapter 3 of Galatians. And he says in verse 27, For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Here he is talking about baptism again. Okay, I would suggest to you, again, study it out, that it's the same baptism that's in Romans chapter 6. Verse 27 again now. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Sounds a lot like what we read back here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going back there right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Matches Galatians 3 pretty almost to the word. Okay? So we can't miss that. One more time. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. So in 1 Corinthians here, come to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, and that's what these other two passages were talking about, right? Being in Christ. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Okay, so this is what's going on here. We become a new creature. Baptism's part of this. You know, it starts with salvation. Okay, the moment of salvation. Now, note, we do know which baptism 1 Corinthians 12 is. It says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized. I'm going to actually go back to it. For by one Spirit, I'm in 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Okay, no question, that's this fifth baptism here, by the Spirit. So it's definitely not baptism by death, baptism of fire, baptism with the Holy Ghost, or water baptism. It's for by one Spirit are we all baptized. Either that or the Spirit comes down, the Holy Spirit comes down, and He's the one that conducts the water baptism. And I don't think anybody preaches that today. I hope not. No, it's a different baptism. Okay, you know, the water baptisms that are being conducted today are by pastors of churches that bring people to a water baptismal or bring babies to a water baptismal, and either they sprinkle the babies or they dunk. You know, there's that whole big thing too, which one counts, and that's not our study for today. I'm just going to say water baptism, okay? But full immersion or sprinkling or partial immersion. But it's the pastor of that church. It's the preacher there is the one that's doing the water baptism. It's not the Holy Spirit coming down and doing that baptism. So baptism by the Spirit cannot be water baptism. Those are two different baptisms, okay? Let me just stop. Any questions where we are today in the study so far? Okay. And let me just see how we're doing time-wise. I think pretty good. Great. Okay, so, baptism. Figuring out which one of these is. So let's go back to Romans 6. Just to read verses 3 and 4 again. Know ye not, don't you know? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. No question, this baptism identifies them into Jesus Christ. Were baptized into His death. Verse 4, therefore, because of that, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. It is, not has been, not will be. Our old man is crucified with Him. Verse 6, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now doesn't that sound a little bit like circumcision? The body of sin, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed by circumcision. Now, is that literal physical circumcision right there? Or is that spiritual circumcision? Again, for the reader, for the student, to discern through the Scriptures, but we've got some more Scriptures to include in this. Let's come to Colossians chapter 2. Now we're moving out into what's known as Paul's prison epistles. Okay, so it's going to be out after Acts 28, one of his latter books. But in Colossians chapter 2, let's just look at a few more passages about circumcision, about baptism in particular. Okay, verse 10 says, so Colossians 2 verse 10 says, and ye are complete in Him. Wow. So whatever we're talking about here is complete. You are complete in Him. Nothing else is required of you. And ye are complete in Him. In Him, verse 10, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised. Whoa, here we go. We're being circumcised again. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Whoa, that sure wasn't physical. Circumcision, was it? It's the one done without hands. In whom ye also are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Not only that, but verse 12, buried with Him in baptism. Sounds like Romans 6, doesn't it? Wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. Sounds like it matches Romans 6 again, doesn't it? And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Wow. Now, would it make sense for some of those to be literal physical actions? You know, some of those are spiritual. Could some of them also be literal and physical? I mean, it just wouldn't make sense. And we start in verse 11, in whom ye also are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Because that's how, next phrase, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Well, Christ isn't coming down here and physically circumcising each one of us at the moment of salvation, is he? No. But we are, and by the way, that'd be real tough for the females, wouldn't it? If it was a literal physical.
Yikes.
Yeah. Physical circumcision. No, it's a spiritual circumcision. You're the body of sin that each one of us has is circumcised, is cut away from our body, okay? From our man. And we're made a new creature. That's what's going on here with the circumcision made without hands. Okay? That's why that whole thing about there is no difference, bond or free, male or female. Okay? And that's how we can all be circumcised the same way. Right in the next verse then, buried with him in baptism. Just like here, we're buried with him in baptism. Now, is that literally at that physical water baptism? Or is that, as the rest of this passage, a spiritual baptism? The fifth one here, being baptized by the Spirit. Okay, again, work it out. But let the Scriptures say what they say. Don't go according to tradition. Don't go to what Aunt Sally taught me as a little kid, knee-high to a grasshopper. Tradition doesn't matter. It's what saith the Scripture. And this is important. Okay, this is very important. Verse 13, and you being dead in... So Colossians 2:13. Well, let's finish 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him. Whoa, we're risen with him. So when we went into death and into being buried with him by baptism, we're risen with him. Now again, for those of you that might think we're in water baptism here, what that belief would say is, well, when we're submerging him, we're burying him spiritually, and then when we bring him back up out of the water, they're rising from the dead right there. Okay, well, just that's what you believe. See if it fits the Scripture. Again, I'm just throwing these Scriptures out that I need you to decide. We still have more verses to go yet. Okay? But you decide which one, because it's important, which one of these five is it? Okay, and you being, verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So all of this by identification with Christ. Okay? So Colossians 2 being another passage. Very clear that all of these are spiritual activities. Spiritual circumcision. Spiritual baptism. Here, I want you to think about Romans 6. You know, which one applies there? We're definitely seeing a spiritual baptism here. Romans 12:13 is a being baptized by the Spirit. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12:13 said, right? Okay? So we're looking at all of these different passages. And there's another reason why this is important. Come to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, if we start in verse 3, he says here, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit being the subject of what we're about to read. Okay, we're in one body, the church which is his body. Ephesians happens to be the second to last book that Paul wrote. After the book of Ephesians was 2 Timothy. And then that's it. Paul doesn't write any more books that become Scripture. Any more letters that become Scripture. Okay? So at the end of his ministry, he's writing back. And there's six chapters in the book of Ephesians. Here we are in chapter 4. And he's talking about unity that we all need to have. So he's going to give us seven unities of the Spirit. So verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is. Now watch these seven ones. Unity. There is one body. It's the body which is the church of Christ. The church which is his body, excuse me. When you're saved by the gospel of Christ, you're saved into the church which is his body, the church which is the body of Christ. Verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, capital S, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through you all and in you all. Wow, verse 5 says there's one baptism, that, and I'm going to add now, that applies to today, the today that Paul is writing. It is, as a matter of fact, the chapter before this, chapter 3, verse 2, he says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word. He reveals in Ephesians 3:2, this time period in which we live, called the dispensation of the grace of God. And 2015 is somewhere in that. You know, it started back here at the end of the book of Acts. So approximately 2,000 years ago. This dispensation will end with the next prophetic event in your Bible called the calling out of the body of Christ, the rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When that happens, this dispensation ends, that seven-year period of great tribulation begins, the next dispensation in your Bible. Okay, there's many baptisms, there's many gospels, there's many dispensations in your Bible. There have been many back here. Okay. So, Ephesians 4 is real clear. In this dispensation, there is one baptism. It's your job as the student to figure out which baptism that is. It's either one of these five. It can't be two of these five. It says one baptism. Or it's not one of these. It's a different one. Figure it out. But once you see it in Scriptures, go, therefore, Acts 17:12, therefore, many of them believe. Don't believe it till you see it in Scriptures, but once you see it in Scriptures, believe it, and just praise the Lord, that's it. I got it settled in my mind. You know, somebody used to say, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. No. The Bible says it, that settles it, will you believe it? That's the way that works. He wrote one Bible. We're going to talk about that, and I want to show you once. Okay, one more passage, and then we'll get to some explicit expletives. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's just look at. So now I'm going to start saying a little more emphatically, putting the emphasis on the right syllable, I guess, on which of these five baptisms. I believe the Bible is saying, because I believe it's clear as can be. Once again, the Bible says it. That settles it. Now we've got to believe it. Let the Scripture do the talking here. And I urge you to go back and play this again if you need to and get this settled. Because, actually, keep 1 Corinthians 1 and come to Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to read this in Scripture this time. Galatians 1, first of all. First book that Paul writes that becomes Scripture, after he gives his introduction, and he says in verse 6 of Galatians chapter 1, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Well, there you go. So there are, you know, some people think there's only one gospel throughout the Bible. Well, right there, obviously there's got to be another gospel or other gospels for people to be called unto it. And Paul says, I marvel you're so soon removed from unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, the grace of Christ, the gospel of Christ, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, was buried and raised again for our justification. Believe that, trust in that, and that alone, and you're saved. And by the way, baptism was not any part of that discussion right there, nor was it any part of 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. I'm going to show you where it is in 1 Corinthians 1. Then look what he says in verse 7, which is not another. Okay, so you're so soon called, you were called into the grace of Christ and called into another gospel, which is not another, But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Oh, these other gospels are perversions of the gospel of Christ. How do you do that? Either add something to it, or you subtract something from it, or you change it. It's the gospel of Christ and some of these other baptisms. It's the gospel of Christ and good works. It's the gospel of Christ and stop drinking, smoking, chewing, dipping, whatever else. And it's the gospel of Christ and go to church 7 days a week. You get the idea. People will throw the words of the gospel of Christ in and add a whole bunch of other stuff to it. Perversion of the gospel of Christ. Verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven, by the way, now I'm getting on a roll. So think about it, Mormons. Or an angel from heaven. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Or those of you in Korean cults, where some other man or woman now comes down and is going to preach some other gospel, Paul said, let him be accursed. Don't miss it. As we said, verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, as he just did in verse 8, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. How can you stay in one of these other cults? Just let this Bible say what it says. Verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Thank you. So you can't miss it. This guy, Paul, he gets it by direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, Acts chapter 9. And he says, let anybody be accursed if they preach any other gospel unto you. Don't miss that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Remember, he talked about but they would pervert the gospel of Christ. So sometimes it's not a whole different one. It's just a perversion of the gospel of Christ. The simple gospel of our salvation. So what do they add to it? They add some of these physical things like circumcision. Well, that's what they were doing back here in Acts 16. That was the religious tradition that people were worried about. Actually, come over to keep 1 Corinthians 1 again. Galatians. Come back to Galatians. So 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians. Chapter 6. I mean, several times in here, Paul. Verse 5. Chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 2. Galatians chapter 5, verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Okay, people that think they believed the gospel of Christ, but now we got to go get them circumcised. That's what was going on back there. They wanted to add some other religious tradition that had been going on for years and years and years. Like 1,500 of those years. That's what had been going on. Clear back to Abraham. More than 1,500 years. It's 1,500 just back to Moses. Almost 2,000 years. Okay, anyway. And he says that several times throughout this book of Galatians. Now, come to chapter 6, verse 12. Think about religious traditions now, where you see the word circumcision. Verse 12, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. They constrain you to go through some physical religious tradition that's popular in this day and age. Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are keeping those religious traditions, okay, who are circumcised, keep the law, but desire to have you keep this religious tradition, in this case called circumcision. Why? Next phrase, underline it in your Bible. That they may glory in your flesh. I think about how many churches I've been in, different denominations I've been in over the years, where they even have right up there on the board, next to the top left of the preacher up there. If you're sitting out there, it'd be the top right. Here's the two hymnals we're going to sing. Here's the attendance last week. Here's the offering last week. And here's how many people that followed this religious tradition last week. as if that meant anything. How many people got saved? The only thing that matters. We're either saved or we're not. Okay, now let's go identify which one of these religious traditions Paul's talking about that might apply today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize." And yes, it means water baptism here, because we're baptized by the Spirit, and there's one baptism that applies. Let's back up to verse 14. Not only that, but Paul says, "I thank God that I baptized none of you." How many preachers today would say, "I thank God I didn't baptize anybody"? Very, you know, you can't think of any, can you? They glory in it. Every conversation is how many people we baptized last week. Religious tradition. Okay, obviously I'm now telling you which one of these it is. Romans chapter 6, we are baptized by the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, there's one baptism only in the year 2015. So if you're baptized by the Spirit, how are you going to follow any more of these when there's only one? We'll come to how they do that. Let's just hit 1 Corinthians 1:14 through now. "I thank God I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius." They were rulers of the synagogue. Okay, so let's make sure. There was a reason why Paul had to do that back there. Go back to Acts 17 and 18 and 19 and you'll see all that. "Lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name, and I baptize also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other." Well, if you were a Baptist or a Church of Christ minister, you'd be kicked right out of religion if you didn't baptize anymore. What you're called to do by the doctrine of the denomination. Let me be clear on that. Okay, I'm saying the doctrine of the church. Verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but, and contrary to that, he sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." All of these other baptisms make the cross of Christ of none effect. If you try to add something else, Galatians 1, you're perverting the gospel of Christ. You're making the cross of Christ of none effect. The only thing about the cross is that Christ died on that cross, shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sins, was buried, took our sins to hell with him, the faith of Christ. The reason he allowed himself to die and be buried and go to hell is because he had faith in God the Father that he would not leave his soul in hell. Psalms, Acts chapter 2, would not leave his soul there, but would raise him from the dead as he did on the third day for our justification. Amen. That's it. That's the gospel of Christ. If we add anything, now believe that, trust in that. No, by the way, now let's go do a religious tradition. We just made the cross of Christ of none effect. As he said in Galatians 1, as he says right here, 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." That's it. I'm fine with the time. Thank you. Now, come back to Romans 6. Romans 6. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 12. That's where I want to go. I want to show you how other perversion, you know. So two issues that probably split people more than any today are water baptism and the King James Version being the Word of God in English. Those are the two where we can, you know, get shut out, be shunned by people the most. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Now, how do the perversions change it? And it's these two-letter words again. That's how the perversions, the other versions, the ESV, I'm going to name them right here. Here's how the ESV, the ASV, and I don't have an NIV, I refuse to spend money for it. Here's what they do with this verse. They don't say "for by one Spirit," they say "for in one Spirit are we all baptized into." "For in one Spirit are we all baptized." Then the second change, so they change "by" to "in." And then they change "into one body," and they change that to "unto one body." "For in one Spirit are we all baptized unto one body." Wow. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. How did he do that? First time he opened his mouth in Genesis 3, yea, hath God said. He attacked the Word of God. He questioned the Word of God. What do all these perversions of the Word of God do today? Is they question the Word of God. They create doubt in people's minds. And they do it subtly. Like right here. For in one spirit, in verse 13. No, your King James Bible says, for by one spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that's doing the baptizing. It is spiritual baptism. Boy, we can just wipe it right out. I'm almost there, probably 60 seconds. They can just wipe that issue right out by changing one two-letter word in your Bible. And how many times do we have the two-letter words changed? Galatians chapter 2. Paul would carry the gospel of the uncircumcision. And Peter would carry the gospel of the circumcision. No, they changed that two-letter word of to two. That Paul would bring the gospel to the uncircumcision. And Peter would bring the gospel to the circumcision. Makes it the same gospel to two different groups. No, King James has it, gospel of, in both cases, two different gospels for two different groups. The subtlety. The faith in Christ, Galatians 2:16, Galatians 2:20. Faith in Christ versus faith of Christ. King James Version says, we are justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. And they all pervert it by saying, by faith in Christ. Faith of Christ. Whose faith is it? His faith. Enough faith to allow himself to die for our sins, be buried, be raised again for our justification. Faith of Christ. He had faith in God the Father. He would not leave his soul in hell, but would raise him from the dead. As opposed to faith in Christ, now that's your faith. Praise God, we are justified by His faith because He has a whole lot more faith than we do. It's the two-letter words that we have to fear the most as far as Satan attacking the Word of God. That's how he does it. So I want to sum up and then we're going to come right to the question there. Come back to Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized in... So again, is that spiritual? Is that being baptized by the Spirit? Or is that being baptized with water? Water baptism. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We're baptized by the Spirit into His death, into His burial, into His resurrection. And praise the Lord, that was accomplished by the Spirit. The moment you trusted in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave Himself for us, died for us, shed His blood for us to pay the penalty for our sins, was buried, took our sins to hell, and was raised again on the third day for our justification. The gospel of Christ, the gospel of our salvation. And Paul said, He sent me not to baptize, but to preach that gospel. As ambassadors for Christ, He sent us to preach that gospel. And not to baptize, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Questions or comments?
You got it. I was going to ask you about Galatians 2.
Oh, okay.
Subtleties.
Great, great minds. If you'll allow me, great minds think alike.
If you will.
If you will. Okay. So next week we'll pick it up.